charming it is to live the truly British way.
Oh yes, it is such a delight to sup tea and eat scones on one's lawn.
The British way of life is such fun.
Oh, I do agree, dear sister.
Do you know what my favourite British words are?
Oh, do tell me, O queen of mine.
It has to be that delightful Mark's Mess podcast with those charming young ladies.
You mean Charlotte and Catherine?
Yes, Catherine and Charlotte.
I do know what my favourite British word is.
Oh, what fun. Do tell me, my sister dear.
Bottoms.
Welcome to Mark's Mess Podcast. This is episode 2, where I'm joined with my co-hosts of...
Charlotte and Catherine.
It's okay. We're all co-hosts. You've moved on from being minions.
You're now co-hosts.
I'll be a minion!
You can be a minion, I'll be the co-host.
You be a minion. Okay, that means you have to do everything we do. And we have got a special episode for you. We're dealing with geekery stuff beginning with the letter B. And we're dealing with very British things.
British!
Okay, when we sat down to talk about what we would do, the girls chose two very iconic British things for their geekery. And I thought, well, if I go for something British, we can have a British
podcast.
Tea party.
Tea party.
I'm going to start with my geekery beginning with B. And I've actually chosen a children's program that was about when I was young and even before I was young called Blue Peter. If you're not familiar with Blue Peter, then you mustn't be from these shores, because Blue Peter is quite an institution within Britain. It is the longest running children's television show in the world.
Wow.
It started in 1958. So how old is it?
150 years.
It's not even 100.
1958?
Wait, shut.
Shut,
you should. He asked me. 52.
No.
No!
58.
50.
What? 58. In 2 years' time, it will be 60 years old. Wow. I watched it when I was young. You two watch it now.
I don't.
Catherine doesn't.
I watched a bit where they make stuff.
You watch it.
No, I don't. Right?
My wife, Julie, has got a Blue Peter badge. If you don't know what a Blue Peter badge is, they were first brought in 1963. So if somebody sends something to the Blue Peter studio, something they've made, then they get a Blue Peter badge back. Charlotte, on the other hand, how many Blue Peter badges?
Two.
You've got two badges. Catherine, how many have you got?
Minute.
You've got none, I've got none, but the thing is, I've got no chance of getting a Blue Peter badge.
Because you're over the age of 15.
Once I'm over the age of 15, Catherine can always send something off.
Woohoo.
Okay, it is actually a factual program. It's a children's magazine program. They do lots of articles on different things. When I was young, the main thing were the Blue Peter pets.
They have Iggy and Shelly.
What is Iggy?
Iggy is their guide dog.
A dog.
Who they're training to be a guide dog.
I remember Petra. Well, I remember them about Petra, with the first Blue Peter animal.
The one
they've got a statue of. I take it Shelly is a tortoise.
Yeah. I think she's been in the program for quite a while.
Right. Well, tortoises live a long time.
She hibernates.
When I was young, my favourite presenters were people like John Noakes, Simon Groom.
I was about to say Cyberman.
Janet Ellis and Peter Duncan. Who are the what presenters now?
Barney Harwood, Lindsay Russell and Radzi...
McBunny.
I don't know what Radzi's last name is.
Do you know?
Radzi something. Let's just call it that.
But why have I included Blue Peter in an alphabet of geekery? If you want to find out how a movie or a science fiction show is made, you go to the DVD, look in the extras, and they've got how it was made. That is now, back then, back in my day when I was young, you didn't have that. So for the TV shows like Doctor Who, Tripods, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Blue Peter had wee bits of the show where they showed how it was made. And I remember the first time I heard about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which was a very famous TV show, was on Blue Peter. Tripods, they had the stars of that on and they talked about how it was made. And when our friend Rob gives me a Doctor Who DVD each Christmas, and we looked at one of the extras, Blue Peter show, you two watched the whole thing,
I didn't.
That was like, you did, you both of you
no,
sat glued to it.
I was playing my harder. why didn't you just look it up on Google?
There was no Google.
What was there then?
The library.
Why didn't you just look it up on the library?
They didn't have...
Google a book in the library?
No. Google wasn't anything. Google was an extremely large number spelled slightly differently.
Google was an egg.
I mean, if you go onto YouTube now, you can see the clips from the years ago where they had things like Tripods and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
What is Tripods?
Tripods is a book by John, I think it's John Christopher, a trilogy about these aliens who come to Earth and they come to take over the Earth. And it's about how humanity fought back. And it's like teenage fiction. It's very popular with Hunger Games and stuff like that, but it's really good. I've got the book somewhere that maybe someday you'd want to read, but it's a trilogy. Oh yeah.
I thought a tripod was a thing that you put like a glass container on in science.
Well, a tripod is a three-legged
thing
with three legs.
I thought a tripod was an egg.
Tripod, the egg!
No, I think the word you're thinking of is egg. Okay. One interesting thing about Doctor Who and Blue Peter have got a very strong connection. Peter Purvis was one of the presenters of Blue Peter, but he was also a companion of Doctor Who, the very first Doctor.
Is it called Blue Peter because the first person who invented it because it was called Peter and he was Smurf because he was blue?
No, Blue Peter is a type of flag on a sailing ship.
I thought there was a person called Peter and he was Smurf.
Also, the only surviving footage of the first regeneration of Doctor Who from William Hartnell to Patrick Troughton in 1966 exists only as a clip used in Blue Peter. So without Blue Peter, we would never have had that clip.
Well, so, then you should.
They didn't have YouTube in those days!
Well,
oh, good grief. You lot need to learn a bit more history in school. Back in the day, Blue Peter was one of the most watched programmes by children. Now, not so much. It's not as much in fashion. When I was young, it was on two times a week then. In the 80s and 90s, it went on three times a week. And now, how many times?
One.
And that shows how unpopular it is. But it is still very watchable and very enjoyable as a show.
They do quite a lot of science experiments.
They do. I mean, it's a slightly different style, but if you watched one from when I was young, you could still recognise it as Blue Peter. Anyway, my B was Blue Peter. Catherine, what is your B?
Mr. Bean.
Everyone can do a Mr. Bean impersonation. Again, this is a very British programme. What do you know about Mr. Bean?
He lives in London. He shares a flat.
Who does he share it with?
With Mrs. Wicket and Scrapper.
Mm-hmm. And Teddy!
Oh, and
Teddy. Right, for those who are listening who might be a wee bit confused, there are three incarnations of Dr. Bean!
The name's Bean! Dr. Bean!
There's a TV show, there's the movies, and there's the cartoon. All of them are the same character. And played by the same actor. Who's the actor?
Rowan Atkinson.
Catherine has done research for this.
Research!
Which is fantastic.
Which is basically just looking at a DVD.
Do you know when it started? The very first episode of Mr.
1949.
1990. So how old is it?
26 years.
26 years.
Happy birthday.
TV show had 15 episodes. Now, they weren't shown like in a series of one after the other, week after week, but it was kind of a special time. I remember sitting with your Granny Bee, my mum, and it's one of those shows that both of us could enjoy a lot. There were two movies, Bean, which wasn't too well received.
And Merry Christmas, Mr. Bean.
No, and Mr. Bean's Holiday, which was really good.
Oh, yeah.
I remember he wanted to like put his swimming suit on.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was this human man, and then like he was like trying to
do it, and then he didn't want him to see, but the man was blind.
It was on the beach.
Yeah. It's on the beach. That was part of the TV series. A lot of the jokes used in the TV series were also used in the movie.
I remember in one of, I think it's,
wait, no, why did I watch?
Think, Catherine, I think it's Mr. Bean's Holidays, mm-hmm. that he goes to the swimming pool and then he loses his trunks in the building.
Oh no, that's just part of the TV show.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
It's very much pantomime and physical comedy. The cartoon series, animated series, do you know how many episodes there are? 104 episodes.
104?!
Yes, how many have you seen? All of them about five times.
Yeah.
But there's a new series!
Is there?
I think so.
Is it the same actor that does Mr. Bean voices the Bean character?
It is, actually, because I looked it up and I thought, oh, they get somebody else to do the voices in the animation. But no, it's Rowan Atkinson. Yeah. Who is his girlfriend, Catherine? Wenda?
Yeah, Wenda. I think it's called
It's Wenda. The same actress who does the voice in the cartoon as on the TV series.
Wasn't even on the voice.
Who plays Teddy?
Teddy.
Now, this fits in the geekery because at the very beginning of the TV show... you'll have a spotlight on the ground and Mr. Bean seems to be beamed in as if he's some alien person. Now, it's not clear if he was meant to be alien or he's just a weird guy.
On one of the TV programs,
Cartoons.
Yeah, it showed that. I think it's when...
He gets abducted by aliens and then gets replaced by another Bean.
No. It's when he gets abducted by aliens, then they leave him back on the ground, so that's probably where that comes from.
Okay. You know the TV show and there's the singing in it? The very... That is called... Ecce homo qui est faba, which means... Ecce homo qui est faba, that's what they sing.
Spanish.
Ecce homo qui est faba, which means behold the man who is a bean.
He's a bean! He's a Mr. Oh, there's a runner bean, jumping bean, he's Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
there's something slightly alien about him because he's not quite
normal.
We have got the Christmas DVD, which we watch every Christmas.
Most Christmas.
Yeah. Did we watch it last year?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We always have it with chips in
the oven. Oh, Christmas Eve night.
Brilliant. So what is the best thing about Mr. Bean for you?
Funny.
It's very funny. It's the type of comedy that you can export to any part of the world because it's quite... It's almost silent comedy.
And I like Teddy.
Teddy. Who wouldn't... Who doesn't like Teddy?
And I'm going to get him.
What is your favourite scene in the whole of Mr. Bean?
In the episode where he loses his trunks in the pool.
He loses his trunks in the pool.
I don't know.
I like the one where he's late for the dentist. And he gets dressed in the car. Very, very creative and inventive. You like all of it?
Yeah.
That's very good. So we've had Blue Peter, we've had Mr. Bean for our British bees.
Bean.
Charlotte, what is yours?
The Beano.
The Beano. Now, if you don't know what the Beano is...
You're sad.
You're sad. The Beano is... Well, it was started in 1938. It is basically what the Americans might call a funny comic. And it has lots of little
comedy
bits in it. 1938, how old is it now?
88.
Tell us about the Beano. Charlotte has done no notes, so this should be interesting. Okay. These are weekly comics, and how many stories are in them? Approximately how many stories? About
13. But
there's about 13 stories in it that are about one or two pages long. Yes.
But the 13th story is personalised, so you can send your name, so you can send a name into the Beano, like Lollipop Lexi, and then they'll, if they think it's like interesting enough, a name, then they'll write a comic strip about it.
You could have a comic strip of, I don't know, Cute Charlotte. Or
Chippy Charlotte.
Or Cat Catherine. Catherine the Cat. From what I remember, this is a comic I got when I was younger because it's good fun, and I remember especially the annuals, the big hardback annuals, getting them at Christmas. Do you know what Beano actually means?
No.
It means good times. If you have a Beano, you're having a good time. Pardon?
In what language?
Slang. Slang, British slang. On as we're recording, how many editions have been published?
I know this.
That you know this, that you're looking up now.
308.
3,823 without having to revert back to number one just to get sales up. Now, unfortunately, again, this is one of those British things that has gone downhill. There used to be the Beano and the Dandy and a few other ones like Topper and the Beezer, and it's all down to the Beano now. One of the most iconic characters is Dennis the Menace. Those in America will know of Dennis the Menace as this cute wee kid next door who annoys Walter Matthau. This is not him. This is quite a nasty wee boy, to tell you the truth. If he was your next door neighbour, you'd be calling in the police all the time.
And he has a dog called Nasher.
Sergeant Slipper, in particular.
Is that the next door neighbour?
No, that's this police.
Always thought the dad in that looked like the teacher in Bass Street Kids.
No.
But the dad in that has changed now. I've seen the dad
that's
now.
That's the dad.
Yeah, that.
The dad looks like a grown up.
Can I say?
Nasher. Yeah, Dennis.
Dennis. And then Nasher.
Dennis.
Nasher is his dog.
Nasher with the silent.
Nasher.
Nasher with the silent G. And everything else about him begins with G, even though it's silent.
Dennis has a granny. Like, and then Dennis has a granny. And then her dog is called Nipper.
Right.
Which is Nasher's son.
What is your favourite story in the whole Beano?
The Bass Street Kids.
I have to say, the Bass Street Kids were my favourite story, probably because they had a follow-up strip called Pup Parade, where each of the Bass Street Kids...
Pup Parade is sometimes in it.
Yeah. Each of the kids had their own dog. Yeah. Bass Street Kids are a weird concoction, and we're going to actually read the Bass Street Kids after the break. Bass Street Kids came in 1954, by the way. Because I've done research.
Ooh, yeah.
But anything else you want to say about
it? It's really funny.
And
goodbye.
And I would recommend it. Highly recommend it.
I would too, because it's a lot of good fun, and it's a good way for children to get
and
into reading comics.
And it's not that dear. If you get it, if you like or pre-order it, if you know what I mean, how would you say that? Then you get it for £1.50 per copy, but it's actually
£1.50.
But it's actually £2.50.
Oh,
in
my day, it was like 20p, shiny new pence. Right, so we're going to go to break now and listen to... You don't have to say goodbye, just au revoir.
See you later, alligator.
See you later, alligator.
Adios. In a while,
adios.
Crocodile. That's goodbye.
Okay, that's okay. I thought that was something rude. Well, we're going to have a couple of promos for a couple of very good podcasts. Unfortunately, Catherine will not be doing the incidental music.
Hi. I'm Kyle Benning, and I love comics. In fact, I love them so much that I ramble on about them on a number of podcasts, all on one feed, found under the King Size Comics Giant Size Fun banner. I talk about comics with extra page counts, like Treasury Comics, Prestige Format Books, DC's Dollar Comics, Marvel's Giant Size Specials and King Size Annuals, and much, much more. I also love to talk about DC's Crisis on Multiple Earth crossovers, free comics from special promos, free comic book day, Star Wars, my life as a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan, random comic book back issues, and many other elements of geek culture that happen to strike my fancy. There's new content usually dropping at least once a week, and it's all found on one feed. You can subscribe via iTunes, just search for King Size Comics Giant Size Fun in the iTunes store or podcast app on your iPhone. Otherwise, you can follow the podcast at the King Size Comics Giant Size Fun blog headquarters, available at www.kingsizecomicsgiantsizefun.blogspot.com. That's all one word, kingsizecomicsgiantsizefun.blogspot.com. Or follow on Facebook by simply searching for King Size Comics Giant Size Fun. So for snappy review and discussions on comics, new and old, usually done from the front seat of my car or my lunch break at work, check out King Size Comics Giant Size Fun.
In 1939, Timely Comics published its first issues. It later changed its name, first to Atlas Comics and then to Marvel Comics. In 2014, Marvel polled its fans asking for the 75 greatest Marvel stories from those 75 years and published that list in print form. The unofficial 75 Greatest Marvels Countdown will walk through all 75 of these stories every Wednesday from December 31st, 2014 to June 1st, 2016. Join me, Blaine Dowler, and a cadre of other hosts, including established podcasting greats and emerging talents, as we run through the list, discuss each story in the context of its original release, and determine just what makes it so great. The unofficial 75 Greatest Marvels Countdown can be found at Bureau42.com, on iTunes, and on Stitcher.
Hey, Gene, we should do a podcast.
Sounds like a great idea, Jeff, but what will we talk about?
How about a superhero that we both love?
Perfect. Someone like Thor or Captain America?
Both great choices, but I think they're being covered by somebody else already.
Wait, I've got it. What about the Protector of the Universe?
Like Voltron?
No. The guy with the jewelry that lets him create whatever he wants.
Ah, Green Lantern, nice.
Close. No, this guy has cosmic awareness.
Captain Marvel?
Almost. I mean, Quasar.
Ah, Quasar. Who doesn't love a good Quasar?
Tune in to the Quantum Cast, covering all things Quasar.
Yes, that's right. You can find us at quantumbands.blogspot.com.
And on the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network.
Yeah, that didn't sound scripted at all, did it?
Are we sitting comfortably?
No.
Then we'll begin. The Bastry Kids, it's a class that every teacher dreads. Okay, the school day starts where... I don't know, who's that, the head teacher?
The headmaster.
The headmaster tells the school they're going to have to go to the local nursery school as part of a community project.
Woohoo!
Teacher thinks it's a bad idea. Studies, studies! That's a good one. Right, in you go then, class.
Do you think Flog should go first, sir?
No, don't! Too late! And the children, little children, come out screaming because Plug is, well,
ugly.
Come back inside, little one. Some orange juice and biscuits will cheer you up. But unfortunately, Fatty has eaten all juice and biscuits. Then the twins in the class, Toots and Sydney, have got an idea.
Come on, everyone. I'll read you a story.
I'll do that.
Give me the book. Grr.
I'm a better reader than you.
Eek!
And of course, the book rips at that point. Danny, who tends to be the leader of the Bastry Kids, is watching zombie flesh-eating mutants from Mars on the nursery computer. And Spotty tells them,
"You guys can have the computer in a minute." Ah! This visited pants!
Pants? It's a very... At least it's tame. The headmaster comes in to see how everything is going, to discover that everything is not going very well at all.
Go home!
You're stinky!
The kids need to start thinking more like toddlers. So, of course, the children from the Bastry Kids have to wear children's jumpsuits. We're all little children at heart.
Help! I'm being chased by an elephant! I'm a tiger!
Okay, and the end scene is all the Bastry Kids acting like little toddlers and playing lots of fun and games with all the proper toddlers. Okay, and that's the way most of the stories go throughout the whole thing. I remember things like that are still in it, like Billy Whiz, and Banana Man, and people like that. Interesting thing. Grant Morrison wrote Zenith, which was a 2000 AD story, so a more grown up than this, of a British superhero. And in the third chapter of the Zenith story, he had to create different alternative reality superheroes, and people like Billy Whiz were brought into it. Okay, and that brings us to the end of our episode this time.
Goodbye.
If you would like to get in touch with us, we've got various ways. You can get in touch with us on Twitter at
Mark Smith Podcast Recited.
On our blog,
marksmithpodcast.blogspot.co.uk.
On our email at mymarksmith@gmail.com. And thanks to Josh Woodward for our title music that we had. All characters are owned by their people that actually own them. We don't own any of these, we just are big fans and talk about them. So that was the letter B, where we covered some very British topics of Blue Peter.
I'm British because of Bing. Yeah.
Yes, that's why it was British. Yeah, yes, I'm glad you got that.
When did we do American Fry?
Because we didn't think about that. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast about geekery, beginning with the letter B, because we cover Blue Peter.
Mr. Bean.
The Beano.
Join us next time where we'll be covering the letter C, and we might be talking about...
Cream eggs.
Cookies.
Cocoa Pops.
Cornflakes.
Charlotte.
Kaye.
Kaui, say goodbye to our listener.
Goodbye, listener.
Goodbye.